Now it's nice to be back with you in Ethel tonight for the preaching of the gospel. That's always an education when I come here. There's always something saying that I don't know. So it's always an education. But it's nice to be back here for the preaching of the gospel. We're just going to read one verse tonight. And it's found in 2 Samuel and chapter number 14. 2 Samuel and chapter number 14. And it's verse number 14. So when you go home tonight, if you want to look this up, it's easy to remember. 2 Samuel 14, verse 14. And we're just going to read the one verse. It says there, "For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him." We'll read it again. "For we must needs die, and there is water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him." And God will bless to us this reading from his word tonight. In the 66 books of the Bible, there are many things which we read and which we don't understand. And as we go through life, there are many things which happen to us and we do not fully appreciate. But I would put to you tonight that there is nothing in this verse which is difficult to understand. Each and every one, from the youngest to the oldest tonight, can understand every single part of this verse. And I just want to very simply, and perhaps I'll not even take all the time that has been allotted to me, just to go through this verse with four very simple points. Firstly, I want to think about the fact that death is certain. We must needs die. And then I want to think about the fact that death is final. It says, "And there is water spilt on the ground." Death is certain, death is final. But then I want to think about the fact that God is righteous. God is righteous. If it says there, "Neither doth God respect any person." God is righteous. But then lastly, and perhaps more importantly, if you want to put it that way, I want to think about the very simple fact that God has a plan. It says in another verse, "Yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him." Four simple points: the certainty of death, the finality of death, the righteousness of God, and the plan of God. When we come to this chapter, we're in the midst of perhaps a story which starts in chapter number 13 of our book and goes on to chapter number 19 of our book. And it's the story of David and his relationship with his son Absalom. Absalom is one of David's older sons, and he, to cut a long story short, has been estranged from his father David. And in this story we have here, in the midst of this, we have here how Joab, the general of David's army, tries to bring back together, to reconcile the father and the son. But we see that this has eventually thrown in the face of David, and we see the end of that in chapter number 19. But I want to say tonight that God wants us to be reconciled. It only really struck home to me tonight as I was thinking about this again, that there's so many things that we can say about verses like this, but we really must appreciate that God wants to be reconciled to those who are banished from him. Now, I know that Job did it in a very unrighteous way. If you were to read the chapter, you would find that with this wise woman and all the rest of it. But God wants to be reconciled to us. You see, we are far from him. We're estranged from him. We're enemies, the Bible talks about. We're ungodly. And there is no meeting between God and man. And there must become one in between, and there is a mediator. The scripture talks about there is one mediator between God and man, himself, the man, Christ Jesus. And so there must be one who brings together these two parties, just as this woman does, tries to, in this chapter. But let's look at our verse very simply tonight, and just to speak about what we have been thinking. Death is certain. And so what does this woman say? She says, we must needs die. Now that means there is parties involved in this. She herself, the scriptures calls her a wise woman. She understands that she is going to die. And she's talking to David the king. And she says to him, we must needs die. And that includes him. So we must remind ourselves tonight, we don't need reminding, that from the very highest in the land to the very lowest in the street, we must all needs die. Each and every one of us will one day, if the Lord be not come, will pass out of time into eternity. The scripture says in another place, it is appointed unto men once to die. Now you say, that's not a very nice message. Well, I'm not in the habit of preaching nice messages. I'm in the habit of preaching what the Bible says. And if that offends you tonight, I'm sorry. But this is the word of God, and you can't argue with that. You just go to the nearest graveyard or cemetery, I'm not sure where it is in this part of the world, but you go to the cemetery. And as you walk around the cemetery, you'll see ornate graves and gravestones. And you'll see simple gravestones. And I tell you as well, if you go around, you'll see spaces where there are no gravestones. The dead, small, and great. And if you look at those gravestones, and as you read those gravestones, when you read of men and women who died in their 80s and in their 90s, and you read of men and women who died in their 40s and their 50s, but if you look long enough, and as you go around that cemetery, it won't take you too long, you'll see your children who have died at days and weeks and months and years. You see, what I want to put to you tonight is, death might be certain, but life is uncertain. We don't know the moment that the last breath will be taken from our body. We don't know the point in time when we shall put our head upon the pillow and for the believer to be with Christ, which is far better. We don't know. And so I say to you tonight, life, death is certain. But what about eternity? That eternity with God, or that eternity in hell, that's as certain as the life in your body, the breath in your body tonight. You make sure that you are ready for eternity. And so the very first point I have very simply tonight is that death is certain. But I said the next point is that the fact is that death is final. I tell you, if you were to go to that same graveyard that I'm talking about tonight, and you were to go around that cemetery and to read every single stone that was possible to read, you would only put fine on that stone, they died on such and such a date. You would never, ever find that they died again on a subsequent date. You see, they only died once. And each and every one of us in the meeting tonight, we only die in this body once. You see, what I'm trying to say is there's no second chances for each and every one of us. The things which we do in our body are done and over, and they're all recorded in heaven. But that opportunity which we have of coming to know the Saviour is the only opportunity we have in life. That opportunity is not in death. You see, the wise woman uses a very graphic picture. Uses the picture of water. Now, I wouldn't do it, but if I were to spill this water on the carpet tonight, you would never get it back. And we've all been in the garden in the summer, and water the plants. Not that they've needed much watering in this year, but we all water the plants. And that water, it comes out of the watering can or the hose, and it wets the plant, and it drips down the leaves, and it goes into the soil. And then where does it go? You don't see it. It just disappears and is gone. You know, the wise woman used a very graphic picture here. That once it's done, it's over. It can't be recovered. You know, as I lived my life, these many years that I've lived, and as I look back over time, there are many things which I wish I would never have done. I had never had ever done. And I'm sure you're the same. You look back over your life, and there are things which you have wished you had never done. But you know, when we come to that point in our experience, when we pass into the great eternity, it can't be undone. And each and every one of us, saint and sinner alike in the meeting tonight, have to understand that the things which are done, and can't be undone. And so death is final. There's only one man who ever rose from the dead himself, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And he was seen of many, not of all the people the scripture says, but to them that were chosen aforetime of God. And so death is certain, but death is also final. But my third point was this, that God is righteous. You see, the verse is divides itself very simply into a negative part and a positive part. And if I were to come to you tonight with just a negative message, that would be of no comfort and of no benefit to anyone in the meeting tonight. But I want to remind us all that God is righteous. What does our verse say? Neither doth God respect any person. Let's go back to this same cemetery that we're imagining tonight. And if you go to that same cemetery, you'll maybe find on the gravestone that so-and-so was an MP for the Lower Leven Valley. I think it might be around about here. I'm not sure what the constituency is. Or you might find that so-and-so was a councillor in the local council. Or that so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that. But you know that all, each and every one of them, are lying in the same graveyard. Each and every one of them has an equal part there in death. Because you see, God is not a respecter of persons. And whether we're a great person or a small person, whether we're rich or poor, or may I say to be equal to these days, male or female, God is no respecter of persons. Each and every one of us must give an account to God. The scripture says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know, that is why death is in the world. That is why we must all need to die. It's because of sin. Remember back there in the book of Genesis in chapter number 3, how that Adam, he took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He disobeyed the word of God. And the scripture reminds us, as by one man's disobedience, sin came into the world, and death by sin. I wonder tonight if we really appreciate the fact that each and every one of us is going to be treated equal by God. You see, I hope you understand that tonight, because this is very important. That whether I was born into a Christian family, or whether I was born into a Hindu family, or a Muslim family, or an atheistic family, God is going to treat me exactly the same. God is going to treat me on how I have treated the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, tonight, is the most important part, perhaps, of my message. How do we treat the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, there are those who turn their back upon him and ridicule him and use his name in blasphemy. And you know, God will judge them. And there are those who have great respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, they would turn up at church on a Sunday. And they would sing the hymns, sometimes even the hymns that we've been singing. Some of them are in the church seminary. And they would listen to the minister. And they would say they pray. And you know, they would go out of the church on a Sunday morning and say to the minister, that was a good sermon. And then they would go home. And their life is still exactly the same. But you know, there was a day in my experience when I understood that I was a sinner before a holy God. And there are those in this meeting tonight who understood that same thing. That they were sinners in the sight of a holy God. And that holy God demanded that sin must be dealt with. And the only way it could be dealt with was by the death of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the cross. And yet that wasn't enough. I had to understand that I personally had to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was the only Saviour for my sin. God is not a respecter of persons. The only way that God will respect me in that coming day is when he understands what I have done with his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Which brings us on to our fourth point, that God has a plan. God has a plan. Isn't that wonderful tonight to understand that in this world that is in turmoil, socially, physically, politically, any way you want to think about it, economically, it's in turmoil, that God has a plan. And God is in control. What does our verse say? Yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. What a plan. I tell you, although you had the intelligence of everyone in this world tonight, you would never have devised a plan like this. But in fact, may I tell you tonight that this plan was devised before even sin came into the world. Isn't that wonderful? That Christ was chosen as a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. That before sin ever came into this world, God had a plan on how to deal with sin. My, this is some God that we have. It's some God that we have who has devised this plan. And what is the plan? Well, our God has sent his Son into the world. What does John chapter 3 verse 16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a plan that is. It's all summarized in that verse. God is there. His Son is there. We are there. Well, my dear friend in the meeting tonight, what a plan. God hath devised means whereby his banished be not expelled from him. You see, God sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. Not just to live his life as a good man here. Now I'm sure, like most assemblies that we're involved with, there was a table in this hall this morning. And the saints who gathered in this hall gathered around that table to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. And we remembered his life, his words and works and ways afresh reviewed. Is not that wonderful tonight? To appreciate something of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't just come into this world to live. And that would have been good. That he would be an example that we should follow in his steps. The apostle says that. But no, the Lord Jesus Christ came more than just to live. He came to die. Why did he die? Well, he didn't die for his own sins.
Because the scripture says he had none. But he died for my sin. And he died for your sin tonight.
What a wonderful thing to understand, that when the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging upon that cross, the scripture says he bore our sin in his own body upon the tree. You see, God is righteous. And so God demands justice for sin. God demands that sin must be dealt with. And if sin is dealt with, as we cannot deal with sin ourselves, the price must be paid, and that price was paid in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross.
The Lord Jesus Christ took the place that should have been mine on that cross at Calvary that day, nearly 2,000 years ago. And on that cross that day, he died. And he said there, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost.
You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ died, he made it possible for me to be reconciled to God. You see, our verse talks about one who is banished and one who is expelled. Do you remember how we mentioned Genesis chapter number 3? And do you remember if you were to read that chapter, you would think of it, read there how that God spoke to Adam, and he understood that Adam had sinned, and Adam understood himself that he had sinned. But you'll remember if you read to the end of the chapter there, that it says that God put Adam out of the Garden of Eden. He expelled him from his presence. And the only way back to God is through the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That union with God was broken there in the Garden of Eden. But it was fixed, if you want to use that term, when the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross. God has devised means, the plan of God, whereby his banished be not expelled from him. You see, when we think about that very, very simply tonight, that is banished, be not expelled. That means that we were at a distance to God. That means we were afar from God. And you know, if we had died in our sin, we would have been expelled from his presence. We would have been expelled from his love and his care, if you want to think about it like that. But God has devised means whereby we need not be banished from him. And we need not be expelled from him. But God has devised means that has brought us nigh. The scripture says we've been brought nigh to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wonder tonight if this would ring home with any in the meeting tonight. These very, very simple things. My message is over. It's just a simple message tonight. But I hope it's been clear. The fact that death is certain. You know, we could speak all night about these things, but the multiplication of wisdom, words addeth not wisdom. But to think tonight of the fact that death is certain. To think tonight about the fact that death is final. You see, we must make a decision as to where we will be in time. Because there will be no time in eternity. And then we must remember that God is righteous. God is going to treat everyone the same. We're all on the same level in that respect. The world doesn't treat everyone the same, but God is going to treat everyone the same. But then we have to understand that God has a plan. What a plan. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world. Not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so then we have our verse. For we must needs die. And there is water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled. Shall we? Our God and our Father, we thank you tonight for thy great salvation. We thank you tonight for an appreciation
of the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Saviour. And so we would pray tonight that as our message has come to a close, that the preacher's voice might not be silent, and if there be any in the meeting tonight who is still in their sin, that it might speak to them, and that they might come to know the Saviour, whom to know is life eternal. Our Father, what a wonder it is to know that thou in thy greatness and in thy goodness hast sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And so we commend our meeting to thee tonight, and asking thy blessing in everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we've got time to sing a verse or two of 248, passing onward, quickly passing, but I ask thee, whitherward is it to the many mansions where eternal rest is found? Passing onward, tell me, sinner, whither found? Verse 4 says, passing onward, quickly passing, time its course goes swiftly on. Still we hear the fond entreaty of the ever gracious one, come and welcome, 'tis by me that life is won. We'll just sing these two verses, verse 1 and verse 4, keeping our seats, of 248 after which our meeting is over.